I will call the third case. The third case on today's oral argument calendar is case number A24-0358. Carol M. Provost, respondent versus John L. Lundmark, appellant. As counsel likely knows, each of you has 15 minutes for your principal argument. Appellant's counsel will then have an opportunity for 5 minutes of rebuttal argument. We have a timer over here on this side of the courtroom that will show you your remaining time. I'll warn you that the beeping at the end is very loud. It might surprise you, but hopefully, being forewarned, it won't. Counsel for appellant, you may approach the lectern, and if you're ready, please identify yourself and your client, and then you may begin.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'm Michael Garbo. I'm an attorney for the appellant, Mr. John Lundmark. Okay.
And you may begin.
Thank you, sir. Well, first of all, it's an honor to be here in person in front of you folks. I really value this, and I want to thank you for being here.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
So, Your Honor, this is a very, from our perspective, it's a very straightforward matter. The judge in the underlying matter on January 3rd, 2024, granted a summary judgment and made findings in regard to an option agreement between my client and underlying petitioners. Your Honor, it's clear, or Your Honors, it's clear that the option agreement had a binding arbitration agreement within it. The judge, when he was making his findings, and we raised that issue saying, this is the wrong forum for the court or for this decision. It should go to arbitration. And the judge did not make any findings regarding the reason why he found, obviously he must have found that the arbitration agreement wasn't binding. He didn't make any findings on that. There was no real discussion on that. We raised that issue, and according to well established case law, that when you have an arbitration agreement, the first decision that needs to be made, if it's if it was sent to district court, was does a valid arbitration agreement exist? In this particular situation, the dispute arises around the option agreement as to whether or not my client could purchase, I mean, as to what steps my client had to make to purchase the homestead. This agreement was signed October 24th, 2014. And on page 11 of that agreement.
Can I jump in to ask you just to step back for a second? You agree that the court decides whether something should go to arbitration or not, right? That the district court or here, and do we review that de novo? The question about whether something falls within an arbitration clause?
Yes.
And so here, you know, my understanding is that the argument is that the arbitration clause terminated when, assuming we, you know, the court would disagree on the notice issue, but assuming that your client didn't provide written notice in accordance with the option agreement, that the arbitration clause terminated at that point. So why, can you address that argument as to why the arbitration agreement would withstand a failure to comply with the terms of the option?
Thank you, Judge. I would say by the clear language, first of all, I would say by the clear language of the arbitration agreement that states the parties agree to submit all disputes arising in connection with this agreement. So whether or not my client provided proper written notice, that's a dispute, because there are several issues underlying that need to be fleshed out through arbitration. One is the petitioner, Ms. Provost, she accepted the $75,000 check and cashed it. Another matter is there's issues of the fact that my client put thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars of improvement into the homestead while he was taking care of their mother, who passed away in August 9th of 2021. So there's issues of unjust enrichment, promissory estoppel. There's all kinds of equity issues involved. And I would say that those type of issues would be specifically contemplated as being part of the scope of this arbitration agreement, where it says any dispute arising in connection with this agreement. So we have dispute, and it should go to arbitration, Your Honor.
Staying just with the text of the agreement, it says, I believe in paragraph, this is in a subpart of paragraph two, that the failure to provide written, the required notice terminates, I think it's something, I'm lacking the language right in front of me, that all rights under the option or something like, right, all rights there under. what about that language? So is arbitration a right under the option that was then terminated by failure to give notice? So it seems, or if you could help me understand how those, in, the interplay between that language and the arbitration clause.
Well, Your Honor, I would say that it's not so much as a right, but as the forum where this, where disputes are to be heard. And regarding whether or not notice was given within the specified time, there's our, it's our position, and we can, and we plan on proving it through emails and such, that notice was given that he was going to make the purchase, and that everybody was fine with it for over a year. In fact, he paid his sister the $75,000, and it wasn't until later that he found out she was disputing the 60-day written notice. So we would hold that there's a dispute as to whether or not that the time limit was met, and that since there is a dispute, that it goes under the forum of arbitration. Because if you put in the agreement that all disputes go to arbitration, all disputes regarding this matter go to arbitration, well, for them to say, well, you didn't meet the time limit, and my client says, oh, yes, I did. Well, that's a dispute, Your Honor. That's a dispute that should be settled in the arbitration.
So, counsel, what case law do you rely on, Minnesota case law, do you rely on for your argument that the issue of arbitrability, so whether this is and these are arbitrable issues, all of, and I'm trying to include everything you've mentioned so far, that itself should go to arbitration? In light of, again, I'm referring as in particular Judge Bentley's questions about, this is an interesting one because it's an arbitration clause within this options agreement,
yeah,
where the district court did ultimately find the option agreement has terminated and expired. So,
but Your Honor, he didn't make a finding of that.
As a matter of law, based on the language, I think, of the contract, okay, and the undisputed facts. So what I'm trying to understand is, do we have any Minnesota case law that guides us on the specific point? Because I think what you're telling me, maybe I'm wrong, correct me, is that you want this whole thing to go back and go to arbitration first.
Yes.
Right. And so is there a Minnesota case that supports you on that?
Yes. So hold on one second, Judge. So I would say, and it's actually the case that defense provided, or the respondent provided, Atkins versus Credit Clearing Corporation. And it lays out the guidelines that if the parties have clear intent to arbitrate a controversy arising out of the specific provision of the contract, the matters are for the arbitrators to determine and not the court. So in this particular situation.
But that wasn't dealing with an expired contract, was it?
But it's dealing with, the rationale they have to go through. And I would hold that we're on all fours with this because this states if there's clear intent. So, Your Honor, I would hold that there's no more clear intent than having an absolute arbitration clause in there that states parties agree to submit all disputes regarding this. And whether or not my client met the 60-day written notice, that's a dispute. And then the second part of that, if the intention of the parties is reasonable and debatable as to the scope of the arbitration clause, arbitration is to be initially determined by the arbitrators. So in this particular situation,
I thought, so maybe I'm confused now. I had thought that in the Atkins case you're talking about, I thought had been effectively overruled by a statute, it's Minnesota statute 572B06, that says the court decides whether something is in the scope of an arbitration clause.
But they have to follow the standard of is this a valid arbitration agreement, and is this contemplated within the scope of the arbitration agreement?
Sure. So the court is looking at the intent of the parties and interpreting the contract to say is this something that should go to arbitration?
Right. So all of which he made no findings of.
So that actually gets to a question that I had, and I wonder if this is related to what Judge Bratfeld was asking. And it goes to what would you want us to do here? And that is, the district court's decision, I agree with you, it says nothing about the arbitration issue. Should we remand it for the district court to decide that this falls within the scope, to actually write a decision on that? Or are you asking us to send this back and with instructions to send the case to arbitration?
Well, primarily, our first option would be to send this back with written instructions to send this to arbitration. The second would be to make findings, because we're clueless as to why the judge would find that this type of dispute as to whether or not he complied with the 60 days would not be considered a controversy within the scope of the arbitration clause, which all parties signed off on, Judge. So that's what we would request, that this matter be remanded back for arbitration, but at bare minimum, for instructions to the court to make findings as to why the court does not believe that the time limit argument or dispute would not fall within the scope of that binding arbitration agreement.
So in the district court, when you filed a motion to dismiss, you kind of phrased it in terms of jurisdiction. But I think that argument was based on the arbitration clause.
It was, Your Honor.
All right. Yes. And your request to the district court was to simply just dismiss the case. You didn't ask the district court to require the case to go to arbitration.
Well, we wanted the court to dismiss the case in district court and allow for it to go through with arbitration. And we made it very clear in our argument, that's what we wanted as well when we had the hearing regarding this matter, that this belongs in arbitration per the arbitration clause.
Am I correct that neither party filed an arbitration claim with AAA or anybody else?
Well, not yet, because we're dealing with this matter. But you are correct, John.
I mean, respondent on appeal didn't, because respondent wanted to go to court. You didn't because, I don't know. Yeah. No, you didn't want to go to court. You're the respondent in the district.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, we were clear in our intentions that this matter belongs in arbitration and that we wanted to arbitrate this matter. So we feel that if the court sends it back as it should based on case law, that this matter belongs in arbitration, or make findings of why it doesn't belong in arbitration, we can get this matter set up quickly to go to arbitration if the court says this belongs in arbitration.
Go ahead, Judge Bentley, if you wish.
I was going to shift gears. Do you have?
No, go ahead.
So I was just so just while we have you here, in the event that we were to disagree with you on that, or as on the arbitration question and looking to the summary judgment question, what or are there any disputed facts that would warrant the reversal of summary judgment?
Yes, Your Honor, we do have disputed facts. We have disputed facts as to the issue of estoppel, because my client had been in contact with his sisters and said, I'm going to buy this place. So there was months of going back and forth between the two parties, as indicated by counsel's reference in his brief, that there was emails and such going back and forth where he was in contact with them saying, okay, you know, how do you want the payment, this, that, and the other. They were in communications.
I guess, is all that is that in the summary judgment record, so that the court could have, like, just do you mind if I finish my question?
Please do.
That so that the court could have ruled on the collateral estoppel is a legal question, right? So I guess I'm wondering, are the underlying facts in dispute, or is it just legal issues that are arguments that in the event that it doesn't go to arbitration, that you either did present or would plan to present?
Well, yeah, I think what's at issue is the effect of those facts. So nobody's calling somebody a liar in this thing. We're stating our facts that he relied upon that. She cashed the check. And the other issue of unjust enrichment exists out there too, because what has to be remembered in this is that my client spent tens of thousands of dollars improving that house so that they could have separate quarters for the mom and for his family. And that's where they live. So we have these underlying issues that we believe need to be fleshed out and determined in arbitration.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I want to make sure I understand, who is the petitioner below? It was, I'm sorry. Good. I see we got two different captions on our brief, so in different orders, top and bottom. And so I'm just trying to, I think I'm, but anyway, very good. Thank you, Mr. Garbo. You will have an opportunity for rebuttal. Counsel for respondent on appeal, you may approach the lectern. Please identify yourself and your client, and then you may begin.
I may it please the court, counsel. My name is Jeremy Klinger. I represent Carol Probost in this matter, who is the petitioner in the underlying action. We are here to request that the court affirm the ruling on summary judgment in this matter. I believe that the standard review in this matter is de novo, considering the court granted a summary judgment in this matter to essentially review whether or not the court properly applied the law when it's reviewing the record in this matter. I want to touch on some of the questions that were asked of the court to Mr. Garbo in this matter, talking about the underlying essential factual disputes in this matter. Those can all be addressed, I believe, outside of this whole dispute of whether or not this is going to go to arbitration or not, even if the court upholds the decision with regard to the option in that issue of summary judgment. In the court's order, the court ordered that this matter is essentially going to be addressed pursuant to the trust agreement that the parties have agreed to, or I should say the settlor in this matter had set up. So in that matter, as we go through the sale process, those claims can eventually be flushed out, because we're going to have to sell the home and go through that process. So I believe if there's a claim for accounting of the $75,000, or that there's a claim for unjust enrichment, there are several other petitions or motions that can be brought out as a part of still continuing the trust administration under the Uniform Trust Code at that point in time. With respect to the procedure underlying until we get to this point, made a motion to essentially, Ms. Probost made a motion to essentially say that the house should be sold pursuant to the trust agreement, that the option should be terminated. There was a motion to dismiss that action. There was no a letter or any formal notice to compel arbitration. However, in the process, a reply memorandum was made by Provost to the court to essentially compel the response to dismiss the action is a way to essentially say that they're compelling arbitration.
So just to be clear on that point, do you take issue with the procedure with which they've requested dismissal versus motion to compel? I'm just trying to understand what you were just saying, or because it seemed like below you effectively treated the motion to dismiss as a motion to compel and responded to that.
I treat that as a motion to compel. I think that when I was looking at the statute and looking at the case law at the time, I think that my interpretation of what was going on was basically a motion to compel, that the court had to decide at that point whether or not there was a valid agreement to arbitrate this matter. So that is how we ended up.
Do you agree that the district court didn't make that decision?
It didn't make the decision.
Didn't decide the arbitration question?
I don't agree with that.
Okay. So, yeah. Can you help me understand?
Yes.
Why?
If you review the transcript of the action, it was actually spoken about by myself in making the argument. I had mentioned that I believed, and I believe I briefed it in the underlying motion to this matter, that the language of the option agreement specifically stated, and I stated in my brief too, and cited cases based upon contract principles cases that have cited option agreements, and of course the court is well aware of general case law as it applies to contracts, that if you review the four corners of the contract states, if notice is not provided, pursuant to the 60 days written notice, that all rights pursuant to this option terminate, meaning that the arbitration clause within that contract also terminates. So there is record of me making that argument in the court proceeding. So
it's your position that even though the order itself doesn't say anything about arbitration, that the court in effect determined that the arbitration clause didn't survive the termination clause?
That is my position. It essentially inferred that by essentially deciding that the option was not validly executed pursuant to its terms.
Because I guess where I'm struggling is that, at least as I read, and you know, we have a case, Rogers v. Silva, and maybe you could address that, which seems to talk about how the court has to, once a motion to compel or request for arbitration is made, the court has to decide that before deciding the merits. And here it seems like it did it somewhat in reverse, where it decided that Mr. Lundmark hadn't complied with the notice, therefore it terminated the whole contract. And so can you help me understand, am I getting that wrong? And why shouldn't the court have looked at the arbitration clause and decided that?
I will concede to you at this point that I wish that the court would have made better findings on that particular issue. I'm not at all going to stay here and argue in front of the podium and say, hey, I wish the court would have maybe put two sentences into here and put it on the record that for these specific reasons that the arbitration clause did not apply for X. I don't interpret this to go to arbitration pursuant to the statute because of X. Do I wish the district court would have done that? Yes. Do I believe that district court was implicitly did that because of the arguments made in the option agreement? And yes, that's what I'll say at this point, Your Honor. Do I wish they would have done that? Yes. In terms of remand, if the court were to do that, I believe that the district court probably would have made the same result based upon the transcript and its order itself. That's what I'll say to your question.
I have a follow-up question, but I'm not sure if Judge Bentley finished. Do you have any? Do you agree that there's basically nothing in the order regarding the validity of the arbitration clause, right? Or when you say, you wish the district court had done a better job, I guess I'm just trying to make sure. I think the district court said nothing about the arbitration clause. Do you agree with that? Or did the district court say something expressly in words?
I I cannot sit here today and tell you that the district court said something about the arbitration clause.
Okay.
It didn't say anything about the arbitration clause. It said that the option was not complied with.
And then, so, I mean, looking at an order such as that, I mean, how do we distinguish between situations in which, on the one hand, a district court considers something and implicitly denies it, or on the other hand, the district court failed to consider it, omitted it, overlooked it, simply didn't give it thought? I mean, how do we distinguish between those two scenarios?
That is a good question, Your Honor. I would argue that you'd have to look at the record at hand. Obviously, the court has the record. It has the transcript. It has the motions. It has the record in front of it, and the court would have to look at the record and discern it itself whether or not the court made a correct application of the law, because the court is looking at this de novo. That is my answer to your question.
So then getting into the question, instead of what the district court did or didn't do, the termination clause that you rely on is kind of a subpart of paragraph 2. It says it terminates all rights thereunder. Does that mean that any dispute about the kind of note, whether or not the notice was valid, you know, gets determined by the court? Let me, like, just as an example, let's say they were arguing not about whether it was written or oral, or, you know, but let's just say one party says it was delivered on day 60 and the other party says it was day 61. Can the court make that finding and decide it was on day 60, therefore the arbitration clause is gone? Or isn't that a dispute about the agreement? Why, like, would that go to arbitration?
Well, I would argue to you that the court has to determine whether or not there is a valid option agreement that exists pursuant to that. So if I would argue that that paragraph with regard to notice is absolutely determinative. I think that in terms of when you have a real estate contract, and I myself practice a lot in real estate litigation, those options, rights of first refusal, they're extremely timely and very important. So I would argue that if that's not complied with, then based upon the language, at least of this particular contract, then because it says terminate rights all they're under, then in this particular contract, based upon the four corners of that agreement, then all those rights they're under would be terminated.
But isn't it, this gets to my question that I asked your opposing counsel, which is, is arbitration a right under the option? I mean, I kind of read that to say the right to purchase it for $225,000, the right to the deed and the title, because that's all like in that subparagraph 2. I guess I don't know that I think about arbitration as being a right under the option. I mean, that is something that both parties could invoke, and it stands outside of that paragraph 2. So why should we read terminate all rights thereunder to be terminate in effect the entire contract or the entire agreement?
Well, when an arbitration clause is, even in litigation or when you enter into a contract, is something that's freely bargained for in lots of contracts, and a form selection is often something that is often bargained for in many contracts. It is often something that people select instead of going to district court. We see that all the time. I mean, even if you log on to a Disney Plus membership, you're giving away your right to go to court. So, I mean, it's very common that we make people freely give up those agreements sometimes. So that would be something that's bargained for in addition to that. So you're giving up your rights if you don't exercise it within the period of time. So
the oddity here, it seems to me, is that, I mean, your client, Ms. Provost, commenced this case. And I guess arguably, your client had a right to go to arbitration. But I guess I'm wondering whether it makes sense for Mr. Lundmark's failure to serve notice within 60 days should affect Ms. Provost's choice of forum. In other words, it could be that the failure to give notice means that if Mr. Lundmark had commenced the action, it might mean that he was required to go to arbitration, but does it make sense for us to interpret it so that Ms. Provo's choice of forum is affected.
Could you repeat that question, Your Honor? I had trouble following you there.
Well, so I guess I think the result you're arguing for is that Mr. Lundmark's failure to give the written notice within 60 days changes both parties' rights to choose arbitration or not choose arbitration, or to choose the district court in lieu of arbitration.
I guess what I'm saying is that the option is essentially gone. I guess I'm having trouble following if the district court, the option is gone, so arbitration is essentially gone.
Well, there's an option agreement. Within the option agreement in paragraph 2, there's an option to purchase real property. Yep. And then I think it's paragraph 9 of the agreement says, I think, that either party who wishes to commence a legal action must go to arbitration. I think that's what it says.
Yeah.
I think your interpretation is that one party's failure to give the notice then determines both parties' obligations with respect to which forum to choose.
Correct.
Maybe in other words, could your client, in light of your argument, have gone to arbitration had she wanted to?
It's possible.
It's possible she could have?
Yes.
But then wouldn't that mean that the arbitration clause survived?
Well, if people would have given proper notice, yes.
I'm going to jump around a little bit again. I mean, would you agree that Mr. Lundmark, having made a motion to dismiss on jurisdictional grounds because of the arbitration clause, would you agree that Mr. Lundmark is sort of entitled to a ruling on that motion or that part of the motion?
On whether or not we should go to arbitration.
Well, yeah, I guess effectively based on the language in the motion, whether the action should be dismissed for lack of jurisdiction because the proper forum is an arbitration. I mean, do you agree that Mr. Lundmark is entitled to a ruling from the district court on that part of his motion?
Do I agree with that? I mean, first of all, I agree that the court order should be affirmed, but I mean, if this court decides that the court needs to make a specific finding on remand, then I guess that's where we need to go to determine that.
Well, that's what we're trying to decide.
Yeah.
Can I ask one more question?
Yes, Christian.
I just want to clarify one of your answers, counsel, if you don't mind. In response to Judge Bentley's question about whether Ms. Provost could have chosen to arbitrate this since she initiated the action, you said yes if proper notice was given. Do you mean proper notice of arbitration?
There's option, the option.
Oh, so it would depend on whether Mr. Lundmark had properly noticed the option agreement.
Yes, correct.
Okay, so you weren't referring, because the arbitration clause has a notice provision.
Yeah, not the arbitration clause.
All right.
I'll clarify that.
Thanks, I appreciate that.
It's just, thanks.
Your time has expired. You may sum up if you wish.
That's all I have, Your Honor. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Klinger. Mr. Garbo, you have an opportunity for rebuttal.
I'd rest at this time.
Okay, thank you. The case is submitted and the court will issue its opinion within 90 days in writing. And we do so always on our internet site at Mondays at 10 a.m. So thank you to both attorneys. And with that is the third and final case of the day. So the court is now formally adjourned.